If your life seems dry and unfruitful, Gretchen Saffel says, look to Jesus.
We can come to him in our brokenness and receive the wholeness that he offers us through the cross. We can drink deeply from the well that always satisfies and never runs dry. And we can do this every single day.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgemuth, author of Lies Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free. For October 22nd, 2025, I'm Dana Gresh. Well, hello, Nancy. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Isn't that the word we always say? We're supposed to say I'm fine. Aren't we supposed to say
that? Yeah, and we're all fine. Are we really?
Yeah. Everybody's fine. But you know what? I don't think everybody is fine. I'm reading a lot of statistics that aren't proving that we're fine. It seems like some people aren't okay. And I'm wondering, is it okay to not be okay?
Well, that's a question that our guest today has been asking and has challenged us to think about. Gretchen Saffels, I'm so glad you're able to join us today on Revive Our Hearts.
Thank you for having me. I've been looking forward to this.
Our hearts beat alike. You have the DNA and the heart of Revive Our Hearts, and we love what you're doing at your ministry, which is an online women's ministry called Well-Watered Women, the three W's, Well-Watered Women. And you're a wife, you're a mom, you've got a couple little guys, and you're recording today at your house, and your husband is there helping with the little ones, so thank you to him.
Yes.
For the Revive Our Hearts listeners, we're really grateful for that.
Well, when I saw the title, The Well-Watered Woman, Rooted in Truth, Growing in Grace, Flourishing in Faith, I thought, I want to be that woman. And I assume that you want to be that woman. Are you that woman? And have you always been that woman, Gretchen?
I have not always been a well-watered woman. As a matter of fact, I have been a dried-up woman more times than I can count. First, before Christ, I was completely dried up because I was dead in my trespasses and sins, separated from God. But then when I became a believer and started following Jesus, I thought to myself that I was going to be perfect all of a sudden and not have any struggles or walk through any trials. And I learned very quickly that that is not the truth. I still found myself trying to drink from empty wells in this world, living the dried up life by pursuing things that I thought might bring me contentment and satisfaction. I looked for my identity in my body, in the clothes that I wore, and what I looked like. I looked for satisfaction in my achievements, in what other people thought of me, in people-pleasing, and in trying to be this perfect good girl that ultimately I couldn't be. And I was living the dried-up life. Instead of pursuing Christ in the Word, I was pursuing the things of this world. And I was coming up empty-handed. Anytime we try to drink from an empty well, we quickly learn that it won't satisfy the thirst that we really long for. And I wanted to know, what does it really mean to live the well-watered life?
Something I really love about you, Gretchen, is you're refreshingly honest and raw and real. You're rooted in truth, but you also acknowledge the reality. I mean, I understand Nancy and I, we're on social media too, and it's easy for people to look at us and say, we have everything together, everything's going just fine in their life, but there are moments when we're really not okay. And sometimes as Christians, we struggle with whether that's okay to not always be okay.
Yeah.
And so you give us permission to admit that sometimes we need to confess that we need some help. Take us back to a time when you first realized it's okay to cry out for help.
I grew up in the church, and I thought for most of my life that I have to have it all together. I need to be the good girl. I need to be a perfect Christian. I had two young kids, and I didn't realize how demanding motherhood would be. And on top of just the daily demands of caring for my family and for my boys, I also was running a ministry. And to be honest, in that season, I was doing more than I was capable of. I was living past my limits. And I learned in that season that God created us with limits. And they ultimately point us to Him. because we are limited, but He is limitless. And so in my limited state where I had come to the end of myself, come to that moment of burnout of saying, I can't do this anymore in my own strength, I found myself sitting in a counselor's office. Just the fact that I had walked into her counseling office was a very, very big deal because I had thought a Christian shouldn't need help. A Christian should be able to just read more scripture and pray more, and then I will be totally fine and I can just keep moving on. But instead, I knew deep down, I need help. I cannot do this in my own strength.
What were some of the things happening in your life that made you say, I need to get into that counseling office? Like, were you crying? Were you in the fetal position? Were relationships troubled? What took you there?
Absolutely. I was having anxiety and panic attacks. And that was something that blindsided me, to be completely honest. The more ministry opportunities came, the more our family grew, the more anxious I became. And there was one side of just the spiritual warfare. Satan does not want us flourishing. He doesn't want us ministering or sharing the gospel. But then there was the other side where I was relying on myself. I had neglected to go to the well of living water, and I felt like I needed to live up to people's expectations, and it was causing me to drown in fears and what ifs and feeling like I was a failure. And ultimately, I was looking to myself for salvation, looking to myself to have it all together, and not looking to God.
So you were overwhelmed. And so
yes, overwhelmed, overstimulated. I was over it completely. And I know a lot of other people could probably raise both hands here and say, me too. Mm. And I sat in this counselor's office who is also a Christian, and she has several plants. And I looked at them, and they're just sitting in their pots, and they're growing and flourishing right where they are.
You mean like live plants?
Live plants, not the
fake kind. Yeah, the kind you water, Nancy.
I don't have any of those.
They're the kind you have to actually do stuff to help keep them alive. Those are the good kind. And I saw them and I thought, this is not my life right now. I am dried up. I am a withered plant, probably like the plants that were in my house at the time. They reflected what was happening in my heart. They too were dying because I was so busy, I didn't have time to water my plants, much less water my soul in the Word. As I sat there, I was crying and I just said, it was like a confession in the moment that I had been so afraid to say, but I said, I'm not okay. Mm-hmm. And she looked at me and in the wisdom of God's grace, she said, you know, Gretchen, it's okay for a Christian not to be okay. And I looked at her and I said, is it? Because I don't think that. I feel like I have to be okay, perfect all the time. And that was leading me to a life that was dried up instead of a life that is well watered and flourishing in the Word. And God used that moment. He used her words to minister to my soul and to show me that it's okay not to be okay. Because in Christ, that's where I have my hope. It's not in me. It's not in my ability. It's not in my holding things together, because we all know that that's impossible. And when we try to, we again get to that moment where we feel like we're falling apart once more. Anytime we try to drink from an empty well, we quickly learn that it won't satisfy the thirst that we really long for. And I wanted to know, what does it really mean to live the well-watered life? I came across a verse in Isaiah 58:11 that is surrounded by God telling the Israelites what it means to truly worship Him, to live a life that honors Him. And it's not a life that on the outside looks good, but on the inside is dried up and far away from Him. Instead, it's a life that is flourishing and fruitful, a life that serves other people. So in Isaiah 58:11, I remember reading this verse and saying to the Lord, this is the life I long to live. It says, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. And I remember in that dried up moment when I was reading this verse, writing it down and just saying to God, I don't want to live a dried up life. I want to live a life that is attached to the vine, to Jesus, a life that is well watered because I daily come to the well of living water, who is Jesus in the Word of God, and am filled up so I can overflow and live that life that He died so that we could then live. And so in Christ, I am the well-watered woman. That is who He has made me to be. But I am also becoming the well-watered woman as I come to God's Word each and every day, seeking Him, dying to myself, and being made more into the image of Christ.
I love your honesty. I think that it's something I need today. And I wonder if we could dig down for just a quick minute or two on what lie are we believing when we think it's not okay to not be okay?
We're believing the lie that we have to be perfect to come to God. We think that we have to live up to a certain standard, which the gospel tells us we never could live up to that standard. It's only through Christ who came and He lived the perfect, spotless life. He fulfilled all of the law. And it is His blood and His life, death and resurrection that covers us. It's not the things that we do. It's all that Christ has done. And so we start to believe the lie that we're the ones who have to hold the world together. We're the ones who we have to be perfect and somehow earn God's love or His favor or His approval, when really we only have that in Christ.
And maybe we're living out the lie that we don't really need a savior.
Yes.
You know, it's interesting that the whole world of social media, especially for us as women, is one that gives us these picture perfect, highly processed and curated and filtered images of all of our friends and the people who are called friends, but we don't even know who they are.
Right.
And it kind of creates this illusion that we think everybody else is living this picture perfect life. And therefore, if we're not, by comparison, there's something really off with us, when in fact, probably most of the other people posting those amazing curated filtered pictures are looking at our posts and saying, wow, if only I could have what she has or be more like. So we have this kind of residual, lingering, smoldering angst and sadness and despair. And I'm seeing this so much in women in their 20s and 30s. And not that it's not true of some older women as well, but it seems like an epidemic of it, a pandemic, if you will, of younger women feeling like, I just cannot measure up. And yet, the pictures are smiling, and like, are we telling each other lies? Are we encouraging each other to believe things that aren't true, that are making us all feel more wilted and droopy?
Yeah. Social media is only a snapshot of somebody's life. And yet it's easy for us to scroll and to look at our friends and like you said, Nancy, to people who we don't even know anything about them, and to think that their life is perfect. And without realizing it, their life and their pictures and the things that they say, those become the standard of what we're trying to make our lives like. And the bar just keeps getting raised. The more you look, the more you compare, the more you see these small little snapshots. And I think we all know that those snapshots, I mean, a lot of times when I post a picture of my kids, I've had to take probably 20 to get a picture of both of them even like hugging each other and, you know, both smiling at the same time. Every mom knows that, where you're trying to, you're like, just smile for one picture. But nobody sees that. They don't see the background. And sometimes I even chuckle at myself in those moments and I'm going, nobody's even going to see the moment of this happening. So we can live our lives thinking that we need to live out other people's moments, when God has placed us in a specific moment in time to be faithful right there. But we start to believe this lie that everybody else is okay. They're not struggling. They're not having hard things happen at work or in their home. But really, they are. They're just not posting about it. Mm-hmm. And that's the importance of having vulnerable, safe friendships and relationships with other women who also love Jesus, so they can come alongside us in those moments when we're not okay. And they can come alongside us and speak truth into our lives.
Yeah.
As you're talking, Gretchen, I'm thinking about a passage in the New Testament where Jesus had an encounter with a woman. It was a life-changing encounter for that woman.
Yes.
Who was not okay. And as you read this story, you think maybe until that moment, she hadn't been okay to say that she wasn't okay.
Right.
Until Jesus came and asked her some penetrating questions like, go bring your husband. And she's going, I don't have a husband. And he said, you're right. You've had five husbands.
Yeah.
Now you're living with a man who's not even your husband. And all of a sudden, there's this like this lightning bolt of you just see everything in sharp relief that you were trying to keep under cover of darkness. And she's exposed.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And Jesus starts talking to her about water.
Yeah.
Let's just talk for a few minutes about that passage and that woman and what Jesus said to her is what we need to hear to become well-watered women.
Mm. Yeah. So Jesus, he meets this woman at the well in John chapter 4. Yep, John chapter 4. He meets her at the well. And what's interesting is she comes in the middle of the day, not during the time when all the other women would come together. She came alone because she was carrying with her not only a water jar, but a whole lot of guilt and shame. She comes to this well. And what I love here is that in the passage, it says that Jesus had to pass through Samaria. Now, normally the Jews, they would have done anything possible to avoid going through Samaria, but not our Savior. He always would break these cultural standards. And he said, no, I have to go to Samaria. And since he was God in the flesh, it says he was wearied from his travels and he sits down at this well. And this is not by chance. This was a God-appointed moment. The woman comes with her water jar and she came that day to provide for her physical thirst. And yet Jesus came to provide for her spiritual thirst. She came in her brokenness. And while she's fetching this water and Jesus asks her for some water to drink, he uses the moment of her physical thirst to show her that what she's really thirsty for is not just a sip of water from the well that day, but it is a drink from the living water of his word that will well up to eternal life. That day, Christ met her in her brokenness right there, in her sin and her shame. He knew it all, even though she might have thought, oh, I can hide this from him. Just like Nancy said, he says, go bring your husband to me, because he already knew, and yet he loved her. And he changed her life that day. She did drink from the well of living water. And what's so cool about this is it says she left her water jar. She leaves her water jar. The whole reason she came was to get water. She leaves the jar because she has found the living water. And she goes and tells other people about this water that she has drunk from.
Mm. You know, I can't help but think of you sitting in that counseling room. It was kind of the same encounter as this woman at the well. Her counselor was the counselor.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, do you think she was okay after that?
Yes. She was more than okay in Christ. The thing is, Christ came in the flesh to live the life that we could not live. And he died the death that we deserved to die, including that woman, including you and me, so that we could have new eternal life in him. That is the hope that we have in Christ. We can come to him in our brokenness and receive the wholeness that he offers us through the cross. We can drink deeply from the well that always satisfies and never runs dry. And we can do this every single day.
Mm. So we don't have to be okay. We can be more than okay. There's something better. I think maybe okay is overrated.
Yes, absolutely.
We need Jesus. We need the living water.
And Gretchen, I'm so grateful that you've written this book. It's one that's been being written in your heart for a lot of years. Mm. And it reminds us that like that woman at the well, we're all thirsty. We've maybe been searching to have our thirst satisfied in places that have left us dry and dissatisfied. But as that woman encountered Christ, so you're calling us to encounter Christ who can make us well-watered women, rooted in truth, growing in grace, and flourishing in faith.
We're linking Gretchen's book, The Well-Watered Woman, in the transcript of today's episode, and you can find that at reviveourhearts.com. Also, Gretchen, there's a journal that serves as a companion to your book. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the Well-Watered Life Devotional Journal is meant to help women be able to apply the spiritual disciplines to their everyday life. In the journal, we give you a whole lot of different spaces where you can meditate on scripture, memorize it, preach truth to your heart, be able to identify root rot in the garden of your soul, and replace it with gospel roots that will then produce gospel fruit. This journal is something that you can use alongside the Well-Watered Woman book, and it's something that you can use over the course of a long time, even with a friend, as you're seeking to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ each day.
There's more information about how you can order the Well-Watered Life Journal linked in the transcript of this program at our website, reviveourhearts.com. And also at reviveourhearts.com is a place for you to partner with us in ministry through giving. This month, request A Place of Quiet Rest by Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth when you donate any amount. This book encourages and equips you to spend regular time in the Lord's presence. One reader said, "I couldn't put it down. I never dog-ear corners in my books, but this one I just had to because there are so many pages I want to refer back to. I feel like Nancy is a friend because she shares from her heart in such a transparent way." If you want to soak up Nancy's wisdom like that, reader, and you want to nurture your daily devotional life, you can donate at reviveourhearts.com and request a copy today. And if today you're starting to recognize the wilted woman in your heart more than the well-watered woman in your soul, we want to invite you back to join us tomorrow.
One of the things that my husband and I did a few years ago is we created a charging station in our home because we knew that we were so prone to go to our phones at the end of the day to try to find just maybe some relief from the stress of raising young kids and working and just all the things happening in the world. And we would find ourselves disconnecting from each other to look online, and so much time would go by. And then we wouldn't sleep good and we wouldn't get the rest that we needed. So we created a charging station where we put our phones every night. And each night when I go plug it in and I shut the door to the cabinet, it's like I'm saying, "Phone, you are not the boss of me. Ultimately, I am in God's hands. And I can leave you for this time so that I can go rest in Him." So for me, having some boundaries in place where I go at this time of day, because I know myself, I know by the end of the day is when I'm wanting to run to different things for some satisfaction or comfort or you know, just those things that will maybe help me unwind a little bit. And I never found joy going to my phone. And so we created those boundaries, and that really helped us to flourish at night and to get that rest that we needed. But another thing is being really wise about what is on my phone. There's a lot of great apps out there that I can use to read scripture, listen to it, to listen to podcasts that will fuel my faith. And those are gifts of God. So being really wise about what do you have on your phone? Who are you following? Are you following people that when you pull up social media, you're going to see a word of encouragement and a word of truth that will point you back to Jesus? Those are really practical things that can actually redeem our phones from being broken cisterns to actually being wells that point us to the well of living water, who is Jesus.
We'll talk about how your wilted soul or parts of it often suffers a thirst so strong that it can lead you to the wrong well. Let us lead you to the right one tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. This program is a listener-supported production of Revive Our Hearts in Niles, Michigan, calling women to freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ.